This is the intro. You really want me to stop because I don't sing well. Well, that's not true. You're enjoying this. But here comes the tune. Here comes the tune. Here comes the... Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host, Adrian. Most people don't know this, but cowbells need more Ramon.
I'm Ramon?
Yeah, you are. Gotta have more Ramon, baby. I wonder who knows about that now. You know who? The people listening.
That's a pretty good skit there.
It is. It is. I'll put a link on the notes because it's important. Today, we finish a series titled It's Not Nothing with an episode titled
Almsgiving.
Our scripture today comes from
the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 13. Rend your heart, not your garment.
Delicious.
Indeed, indeed. So let's get this podcast on the road. Now, in the past, we talked about penance, fasting. Today, we finish with almsgiving. The problem with that is that the three pillars of Lent are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I think it might have been a guilty conscience that led me to write penance down. It's kind of like, Adrian, you've been a dirty boy. You need penance in your life. And so I'm like, you know what, self? You're right. So that's kind of the goof. And this is my apology, which doesn't sound like an apology because I suck at apologizing. That's why I try not to make that many mistakes. And that's why I make at least 7 a day. So sorry if we confused anyone. Didn't mean to cause any confusion or scandal. But hey, it was still a good episode on penance, I think. I liked it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was good. You know, in prayer, hopefully it's been part of your Lent. Hopefully everything's been, you know, as well as it can be during these times. Because it's been kind of crazy. You know, we haven't talked about the COVID-19 virus. And I don't know if we're going to dedicate that much time to it. But I think it has something to do with this episode and this particular season of Lent. But let's start with the almsgiving part. You know, we were talking a little bit before we began about the word alms and how the dictionary defines it as giving money to the poor, as giving something to the poor. You know, but when you give the spiritual twist to it, and I wouldn't say twist, when you bring the Christian approach to it, the Catholic approach to it. Alms is more than just giving something to someone who's in need. You know, and when I was working in a Catholic school, that kind of came to life a lot more to me. Because alms is charity, and charity is more than just giving something to the poor, to poor people. You know, it's not just giving a dollar to someone who has a little hat out or a little, I don't know, who's extending their hand towards you. It's blessing them. You know, it's more than just giving them something that they need, because anyone can do that. But it's providing some sort of service through which the person who is being helped gets to know Christ at a deeper level. You know, and so that's the whole thing that got my attention when I was working at a Catholic school, is that idea of Christian service. It's not just service. It's not community service. You're serving the soul of the person that you're blessing. And so that's a whole different dimension. You know, it's not just here's something for that something that you don't have. It's there's something deeper in our souls, a deeper need in our souls that needs that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be filled. And it's something that cannot be filled with things, but it's a God-sized void that we need to fill by bringing God to those who need him the most. And so in that way, we can take that idea of almsgiving and not just apply it to this person needs stuff, but this person needs someone to talk to. This person needs the love of God. This person needs to know that they're worth something, that they're worth God giving his life for them.
You mentioned that almsgiving was defined in the dictionary as, I guess, generosity, right? Something along those lines.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think almsgiving is actually a Christian term, or maybe even like Jewish, but it had something to do, like, I don't know, to me.
It's
maybe
religious, it just, yeah. I get you.
It's mm-hmm. like something dealing with religion, and I think it's more than generosity. It's I think that's charity. Almsgiving is charity, and charity is love. You know, like what's that thing? And I'm so dumb.
one of the three virtues is
faith,
hope, and love. Right?
Yeah, faith, hope, and love. And the only reason why it became love is so that people would understand like what charity is. It's not just a like, I feel bad for you, I'm going to give you this. It's I love God, and they don't even have to like you, but I love God so much that I'm going to give you this. I'd rather you eat. I'd rather you get fulfilled in this way because of a sacrifice that I'm making. You know what? I'm actually going to use myself as an example of charity, because this is the only thing that I can think of at the moment. We need some stuff for when we go to our facilities to start working, you know, in our assignments at work. And I'm all over the place today when we start working at work, because that's what we do at work. And I have extra stuff that I do need, but it's extra stuff and my partners need it too. So to make a long story short, I was hooking up people with some of the stuff that we're going to need for work. And not all of those people that I give something to are going to the same assignment as me. So
you're not going to be getting those back?
No, I actually gave them because I care about their success. I care about the job getting done. I care about them, even if I don't like them as much, which I do. And it happened to be people that I do like. But even if I didn't like somebody, just because I don't like you, it doesn't mean that I want you to fail. Because me not liking somebody is not a good reason to purposely let somebody fail. And that's something that Lent has taught me. You know, like all the struggles, and we always talk about embracing the suck, and what does that do to you? Because you know, in worldly terms, like if we think about it that way, and in a secular way, it just sucks. You know, why should I embrace the suck? I've got my own cross to bear. You know, that's my, like, why should I? It seems unnecessary. But when you go through certain stuff and you offer it up to God, it makes you a better, how can I put this? I'm not trying to measure anything. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, I'm so dumb that I'm gonna explain it like this. I think it makes me a better reflection of what God wants me to be. In other words, like a better son of God. God loves me regardless. I mean, he already earned my salvation. I'm not even doing it for my salvation. It's just charity. It's love. And I'm not making that much sense, but you guys are smart. I think you guys can get what I'm trying to say here.
I'm just appreciating right now, you know, like I'm quiet because I'm like, you know what, I'm going to, like, I'm listening and I'm letting you unspool. And I'm like, dude, like that's coming from the heart. And I can tell, you know, like maybe, I don't know if it's noticeable to anyone else, but like, I got that.
Yeah, no, it is. It is coming from the heart. And man, I kind of hate using myself as an example. Like, yeah, guys, look at what I did. It's because it's not about me. it's just simple things that seemingly are just like nothing. But man, like, those are tools that you need for work, you know? Well, what I handed over to my partners there. And like I said, not all of them are going to be my partners directly, because they're going to be in other assignments. But like, it's not just about you and your comfort. Like, this is how we change the world. This is how Lent is purifying me, stripping away all my selfishness. And it's crazy, because, you know, you brought up the coronavirus and how that's affecting people. Yeah. Like, there's the difference between being a hoarder and being a prepper. A prepper is somebody that stays prepared and buys few things at a time so that the shelves are not empty.
Yeah.
So that everybody can be able to be prepared for their family, you know? Like, yeah. I'm cool. I got all the toilet paper I need, because I bought the big stuff from Costco, from the big superstore.
Before the chaos.
I'm good. And then I know everybody at my mom's is pretty good too. They got food in the freezer, all that.
But yeah,
because they're not hoarders. Our family is just always prepared.
Yeah, and you know, I wasn't that prepared, but I had enough toilet paper to last me through the craziness. Right now, you know, I know people don't. Well, our listeners don't care about what other people are thinking, probably. But this is the beauty of capitalism, you know, is that the producers produced, and now we're back at a spot where we can actually buy toilet paper again. And that's crazy, you know. Like, we have that stuff available now. So I was able to say to have enough to last me like a bonus 6 days, which was enough of a buffer for things to get back to normal. You know, and so, and like you were saying, you know, man, you've given me so many talking points that I want to just kind of like jump in, like I did right now, rudely interrupting. But that is the difference, you know, between a hoarder and a prepper. Is that the prepper is already ready before the chaos begins, and the hoarder takes from everyone else so that they may have more than they need.
Yep, it's selfish. Mm-hmm. That's the opposite of almsgiving.
Yeah, of charity.
And you might want to cut this from the podcast, but I feel like this is all a bunch of garbage that not necessarily the media, but
yeah, I understand that our church leadership wants to protect us, you know, by not having mass and all of that. But it's crazy how we let humans dictate what we do and what we can't do to worship our God. You know, like I said, I get that, you know, yeah, stay safe and all that, but my salvation doesn't come from human beings or from some stupid vaccine that they're probably going to come up with, and, oh yes, thank you for saving us. My Lord is going to save me. And if he wants to call me home, then I'm going home. That's the whole point. We go to heaven, we go home. That's why we live in such a way that it truly makes a difference. Almsgiving, it really is a thing. Sacrifice, it really is a thing. I know I'm not getting the message across the way that it should, but I hope that you do understand what is being said here. We're not trying to die. We're not saying that you're crazy if you're taking measures.
Yeah,
cautions to be safe. But don't let the devil put fear in you. Don't let this be an excuse for you not to search
the English is hard
for God. You know, it's like, oh yeah, we don't have to go to mass, good. Or, oh, you know, don't use that as an excuse. Like, oh man, I've been working really hard lately and I'm doing like a lot of physical activity, and I was driving back home. And then I stopped at where Dodger Stadium is. There's a huge park, and then there's like a lot of hills there. And they're brutal, man. So I decided to go for a run because I got whatever. I ain't going to bore you guys with the details, but I was really tired physically. But I'm a freaking pit bull, man. Like, I got this fire in my belly, and I'm like, man, like, I want to keep getting stronger and better and pray when I run. So I started doing that, running those hills. And the first mile sucked. But that second mile, when I was already up on that hill and going down, then going back up on another hill. And I got this, I guess they call it the runner's high, but it was more than that. Cause I felt like God was telling me, like, yeah, this coronavirus is nothing, man. Like, and if I want to bring you home, then you come home with me, but you don't worry about anything. The only thing you got to worry about is not coming to heaven with me. It was that, like, the only thing you have to worry about is not being able to come home to me, to heaven. And I don't know what that, like, I don't know, like, that just lit up a fire. I can't explain it, because I didn't get all fired up like, yeah. It was more like, it was just such a humbling experience, because I'm still trying to understand my purpose, but it's getting more clear, and it's getting more dangerous for the devil. And that's good, because I know sometimes I sound like I'm full of myself and like I'm super macho, but I'm not. Like, I know what I use this, whatever it is that I have in here in my heart, for the greater good. I know who I'm living for.
I want to make sure that people don't kind of misconstrue what's being said here. You know, yeah, we're kind of like little cavemen sometimes, and I'm like right behind you, like kind of being a cheerleader sometimes, you know. And I want to make sure that we don't get the wrong message across. I want to make sure that I highlight the fact that you said, if you're taking precautions, like, take those precautions, you know, take those things that will save your life.
Yes.
You know, but don't live in fear. Mm-hmm. And we've had other pandemics, but I don't think the media blew it up like they did this virus. You know, I don't think they stirred up the chaos that they did with this virus. You know, we had Zika, we had a bunch of other viruses and a bunch of other pandemics, but there was never the chaos that we have right now, incited by those who are supposed to be giving us the news. And you know, shame on them, because they've been called out by people from both sides of the political aisle. And we've said before, we don't care for politics. Like, we really don't. Like, honestly, like, it's just the same thing packaged differently. That's it. You know, and that some people might argue about this, you know, but we're not a political podcast. We're not going to be, but we are trying to lead people closer to God. And hopefully that's coming through. And hopefully what you're getting is, don't live in fear. You have a savior. It's not whoever's making the vaccine. It's God himself. He has you. And just don't live in fear. That's it. I am a little salty about not having masks. You know, I think I've, I don't know, at least the people that are around me, like, they know I'm a little salty about that. And people will agree or disagree with whatever we have to say about people are blowing this out of proportion. But we also pay attention to the death tolls. We also pay attention to the infection rates and how many people are dying here and there. So it's not an uninformed thing. But we still, or at least on my part, you know, I'm seeing all the panic, and I'm like, this is unnecessary. But let's take what we have and give glory to God with it. Let's offer it up, like we've been saying this whole entire series. You know, that suffering that we're getting, that hunger for the Eucharist that we're either already experiencing or are going to have, for those of us who are here in Los Angeles, and this is going to be our first Sunday without going to Mass. You know, let's just remember that we have to be obedient, whether we agree or disagree with the bishop's decisions. We have to be obedient. We know that we're not in the state of mortal sin, but let this be an experience that leads you closer to God. because some people may still need your encouragement. You know, people still need your charity. And charity is as defined by Christianity. Charity is to give of oneself so that the beloved might live. Whether or not they choose to let this be, whatever this charity that you're giving, whether it's a thank you or, hey, I appreciate your work or whatever it is in the few places that are going to be open that you're going to go to, you know, whatever it is, like they can choose to turn you down. They can choose to not agree with what you're saying. They can choose to spit on your comment, you know, thanking them and appreciating them. But you still do it because that's what a Christian does. That's the difference between charity as the world defines it and charity as Christian service. You know, and so once again, take your precautions, wash your hands, use Purell, whatever you need to do. But don't live in fear. We have a savior. It's not us. It's not the Dude Catholic podcast. It's not any other podcast. It's not any news outlet. It's not the president or whoever. You know, it's Christ himself. He is our savior, and we should refuse to live in fear. It's one of the most striking images that I have is God saying, do not be afraid. And so, do not be afraid, and pray for us.
We will pray for you.
Ferrum.
Ferrum.
Acquitur.
Sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.